This morning, I messed up my calendar a little bit, and I went to my brother Gregorio and his beautiful wife, and I tried to congratulate them for their anniversary. And she looked a little bit puzzled to me, and I couldn't catch that something was wrong. But they play along, we pray with together and everything else, and realized that it was yesterday. But the way I say is, as you know, today is the first day of the next anniversary, so it still works. But today is my brother Kisaka and his beautiful wife's anniversary. And Prince, tell them, let's go out, Mom and Dad, let's celebrate, right? It's a good chance for you to. We are very blessed that you are part of our church, okay? Thank you so much for all that you do for our church and to receive the call to work. You know, we do need hands. We need people to participate. And we are blessed. Church, just raise your hand as a sign of a prayer before the Lord. So we bring this couple, both of the couples. And, of course, tomorrow is going to be the other Kisak. So we raise our hands so the Lord blesses you, okay? This is our blessings to you all. We wish you all a very, very blessed Abba's Day to everyone. Now, the topic that we chose for this week is the covenant. The covenant, just for our media people over there, is the A is very close to the word covenant. It's not together, okay? It's a covenant, just for you to know. The covenant is a topic that is very, very, it's so large. We take months to talk about covenant. So today I'm just going to give a small touch on the subject, all right? Now, as you can see, how many can see what I'm trying to put in this picture? In this picture, there is the red is actually wax. They use wax when they seal the document, and they put something very hot, and that's how they seal a document. So that's what the seal of there. But when they tried to press that seal, blood came out. See the bottom of the blood in the bottom. You can see that also in your bulletin, the cover of your bulletin. So that's what the symbolism of this, that the covenant, in this case, when it was pressed, it was with blood. Somebody gave a life to honor this covenant. And that's basically the symbol that you find on what we're trying to put on the screen, okay? Of course, always the Bible is the... I don't know if you notice also in the little corner, there is a Bible and there is a light that continue on. And you notice that in some of these lights, we're going to change from the Bible into the Ten Commandments, just like that. What is a covenant? I like to share those details because sometimes people look at the screen and don't look at the little corners. But every single thing in the screen, we took time to send a message. Everything in the screen has a purpose. It's not there just by accident, okay? And so what is a covenant? Covenant. A solemn agreement between human beings, but also between God and another human being, in some cases, even between God and a whole nation. That's how we see in the Bible. The Bible talks about covenant between God and individuals, covenant between God and the whole generation also, not only a nation. A covenant is always between two or more parties. So let's define. This is when we think about the word covenant, that's the word that's coming to our mind. A formal agreement. A contract. Anybody here have ever signed a contract before? I have signed a few of them. And sometimes I wrote the contract and asked somebody else to sign. And we go through all the ritual, we have a witness and everything else, and then we go and make sure that everything is legally. And we have done this. And a contract, if you all know, what happens when one party decides not to follow the rules of the contract? Usually every contract has the benefits for those that keep it, but also have a list of the consequences. And that's one of the things that we're going to study today too. A testament. Do you all know the testament? How many of you here speaks any Latin language? You do? We are very lonely here. There's just a few of us today. Usually we have more. Oh, no, there's more here. Oh, yes. I look only this side, but there's. Now they put their hands up. That's good. The word testa. Do you know what testa is? I don't know in Spanish, but in Portuguese, testa is this, front. So if you know that this is testa, what do you think a testament is? An agreement that is being taught about it. That's where the old testament comes from. At least in my language, it helped me to understand that. A will. A treat. A treaty. Or a pact. And there are all the words, but this is basically the six that I chose to just to give you an idea when we talk today about covenant is basically covering that definition. In a back is a contract. Okay, that's the back. And then you see a family offering a lamb. And then as the smoke goes up, there is a symbol of Jesus Christ as he was crucified. That is a covenant. And here's the seal and the blood that was crushed, pushed, and that's what it does. In ancient terminology for a covenant is in Hebrew, terib, in Greek, diatek, and in Latin, testamentum. That word, everybody knows what testament. Now you take your Bibles, and you see in your Bibles divide with two what? Testament. Basically, literally, what it's saying is that the Bible is divided between two covenants. The old covenant and the new covenant. So somebody decided to try to help us to understand what their view of the Bible. Because there is no such thing in the Bible as Old Testament. Pastor, what you just said? We are, throughout the years, without the centuries, we have been always told, oh, there is the Old Covenant, and you know what the churches today say about the Old Covenant, right? It's good for what? What they mean when they say the Old Testament? Mean is gone, is no longer useful. That's not nice for us that we are getting our gray hair in our heads, right? That's not good to talk about this. But they say it's old, is no longer relevant. And that's what you hear on the pulpits today, tomorrow, and in many places, people refer to the first portion of the Bible as something obsolete. Something that's no longer necessary. Please do not join the wagon. Don't go there. The Bible, if you see as you study the subject, the Bible has one covenant. One covenant. God never broke it. Therefore, it still remains. Just because we fail to keep the commandment does not make the commandment null. Why? Because Jesus Christ died on the cross to prove to us that the covenant is stand still. It is still the same. It will be always the same. Because when you go to Jeremiah and you read about the new covenant, you see that it's not new. It's the same covenant. And when Jesus Christ comes, the same covenant. Why? Because the covenant has one Lord and has one law that covenant covers. The law will not change. The Lord will not change, so the covenant does not change because it's not possible. So who changes then? Only us. The covenant, it's used 285 times on the first portion of the Bible and 33 more on the second part. So the first 39 books, 285 times is mentioned the word covenant. And then in the last 27 books of the Bible, 33 times. So you know that the Bible is really a story of the covenant. If you want to talk about what is the Bible about, all about, what is the Bible all about? It is about life and a covenant with life, about life. How life was given, how life is preserved, how life will be given to us throughout eternity. That's all the covenant is about. Promise is a promise. Have you heard that expression before? Promise is a promise. You promise, you must keep it. You didn't have to promise, but you promise. So a promise is a promise. A covenant often promises specific benefits. Every contract has some reason to motivate a person to sign. So he says, here are the benefits, and also have the consequence. I don't know about you, but I decide to do something. Have I ever turned this on? Yes. I have decided to do something in my life that I'd like to give you advice. I'm not a lawyer. Only thing I do about the law is that I admire and I decide to do my best to keep it. But I'm not a lawyer. So that's not a legal advice. But it is advice that I can give it to you. Every single time I see any contract that has some portion on it that is so tiny that I cannot read, there is a big word that shows up for me like this. Dishonest. Because if they don't want me, they wanted me to sign when they don't want me to read what is hidden there, I don't sign it. If I cannot read, I don't sign. Some of you, it is very typical now on the internet, when you download the software or something, they make you read a whole contract, right? So what do? You go to the bottom, and you click OK, and then says, let's get on with it. Be careful, because that may come one day and hunt you back. Be careful what you sign, because once that you sign, you become legally bound by that contract. It seems to me like, oh, but Pastor, if I don't sign, they don't let me use it. Read it, because maybe it's not worth using it at all. We are in a day and age, because you are a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, there will be many other ways that they can catch you, but don't be because of your foolishness. Don't be careless. If you own any property, there is even more reason. If you don't own any property, you have a good name that's greater than any property that you may own. So be careful what you sign. Every single time, if I come by mail or it comes, I read. When I went to the hospital, you know, I had a little procedure, and the nurse came with all these papers and sign here, says, okay. And I started reading, and I could see the nurse. I said, ma'am, if I don't read and then I sign, and I said when I signed that I did read, I'm already lying. I'm already breaking the law. I'm breaking the law by signing something and claim that I did read when that's a lie. I became a lawbreaker in the moment that I signed something that I said that I did read and I did not. So be careful. Covenants, contracts, they have promises. They have benefits, they have rewards, they have blessings, but to those who keep them, to those that break them, there are consequences. Consequences. So please be careful what you sign. And by the way, this is not only in the legal area of our life, but also in every decision that we make between us and God. Because every decision we make between us and God is a covenant. So don't go on breaking the covenants that you must have with God. Sacrifice was part of the daily life of God's people. Do you know that how many times they sacrifice daily? Way in the morning, in the evening, they sacrifice, right? But they prayed three times. They went before God three times. Can you imagine what that would do to us here as a church? I don't know. I just thought about giving you guys an old idea. Can you imagine what that would do to your spiritual life if you actually, you spend a few minutes three times a day just to pray? And by the way, if you want to be very, very successful, spend 7 days not praying for you at all. Praying for everybody else but not you. And pray for everybody else that is not even related to you. And come back and tell me how much different your life will be. We spend so much time about ourselves. Think about others and you'll see how your life will be better. Now, faith and obedience. Some churches believe that faith is all that it takes. Obedience is no longer necessary. Why? Because they said Jesus died on the cross. Obedience is no longer necessary. They bypass those texts that Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. As I have loved my Father and I have kept his commandments. Just for you, just to have in case, because some people say that Jesus created a new set of commandments. He says clearly, as I obey the commandments of my Father, you should obey my commandments. Why? Because my Father and I are one. And everything belongs to Jesus, also belongs to the Father because they are one. So the covenant is the same. Sacrifice, the word sacrifice not necessarily means that you go and cut yourself. Or sacrifice means conviction that goes beyond anything else. When we give so much that it hurts, then giving becomes meaningful. But when we give I have a $10,000 in the bank and I give 10 cents in the church. Be careful, because if God starts giving you the way you give to him, you're going to be a very poor, miserable person. Give to God the way you want God to give to you. That is a covenant that you must have. Always a covenant to God. Your daily giving. And by the way, just for you to know, every single time you come to church, that is also an offering. Because a presence is a good offering. Main covenants on the Hebrew Bible. Adam and Eve. Many people look at Adam and Eve and they don't see any covenant there. Because, Pastor, last time I read the Bible, there's no word covenant there. Not explicit, but it is implicit. It's something that if you look the story, you see where the covenant is. So I'd like to show you this. It says, the covenant's not there, the word's not there, but there is. Promise was made to them. This is something that you never heard before. So if you're awake, you're going to hear today for the first time. Then God saw everything that he has made, and indeed was what? Why was very good? Because God is good. All the time. You're a little bit slow for me. I promise if you're going faster, we want to go faster. So why was everything good? Because God is good. All the time. No exception. Right, my brother Nathan? No exception. Please make sure that you next time you say that God is good all the time, add to it, no exception, all the time. So he started doing everything good. So he finished on Friday. All right? Genesis 2, God works as Abba, Father. And then he, in lovely fashion, he made, took a bunch of dirt and he created the man and dirt and created a man. And then after that, he put his breath of life on man, and man became a dirt that breathed. Okay? And then it says he created, out of that pile of dirt, he created a woman. He took part of her, you know the story, and she became a prime rib and give to him the prime rib, and everything was all beautiful. This is how God initiated the whole concept of his covenant with the humanity. God commanded Adam, in this case here, Adam means him and her, because at that time they were both called Adam. Genesis 5 verse 2, it says God called them Adam, okay? And God told them, now you must take care. I create this whole world. I give it to you. Now you have to work. You have to take care. By the way, those, if I know there is nobody here that thinks this way, but those that think that the government exists to give us free everything else, that is not a Christian concept. God asks us, God created us to produce, to create, to work. There are exceptions when you no longer are able physically or mentally. That's an exception. But we should not rely on the government, because the government is not God. God provides, not the government. Only thing the government is good in produce to us is taxes and more taxes. Now, the Bible talks about the first covenant that is mentioned there. Do you know what is the first covenant? Marriage. A covenant established by God. So, God created a spouse for Adam, and they were married on the spot. Right? And lasted more than 930 years, their marriage. That, you see, when God does something, he does good, right? He married those two and they stayed together for 930 some years. Wow, that's the longest marriage ever. And so today, the state, the Supreme Court, has redefined the word marriage. And from the pulpit and from the lips of our Christians, Christians start talking like Caesar. Caesar called a marriage that is not a marriage. And we go and repeat. And we are talking like Caesar. If that is okay. I know that sometimes we may get ourselves in trouble because today a very small minority are intimidating people, are forcing people to, or you talk the way I talk, or else I'm going to label you one of those names. Brothers and sisters, don't compromise your faith because you fear persecution. Because if you compromise your faith because you fear persecution, you are being persecuted by your own self already. We are not here to go and offend other people without, there's no wisdom for us to be offensive to others without no gain on the whole process. But when you are put in a situation when you have to compromise your faith, do not fear Caesar that much. Because Caesar cannot destroy you, but your lack of faithfulness to God, you may lose your eternal life. God said, therefore, man shall leave, okay? Don't get married in this state. Get married and leave. Leave and go live your life, okay? He says, leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. The problem today is that our children, sometimes they get married, but they don't leave the father. What means? Because they need the green. They don't lead their mom either because they don't know how to clean. They don't know anything. They don't know how to cook. So, mom, can you come? Mom, dad, can you are married. Move on. Go on with your life. So that there is a good covenant over there. Anyone who is capable of taking somebody else's daughter away from their home must be able to provide. Or you shouldn't. A covenant established by God. I mentioned this three times. I want you to repeat with me. Marriage, say with me, please. Marriage. Only if you want, okay? If you choose, that's, you're free to say. But I'll say, if let me say once, and then if you agree, we repeat together. Marriage is a covenant established by God only. Let me repeat. Marriage is a covenant established by God only. Only God. Before the state exists, before Caesar exists, marriage was already there because it was established by God and God alone. So what this has anything to do with that original covenant? Be not yoke unequally together with unbelievers. Is this has anything to do with that first covenant? Oh, yes. If you know your Bible well, it goes from Genesis to Revelation. The principle is still the same. God established marriage. Therefore, He is the only one who can define where marriage is. And He tells you, you have no business and go and marry somebody else that does not believe in me the same way. Because how can you sign a covenant with me if your house half does not belong with me? A house that is divided, what happens to that house? It cannot prevail. That's what Jesus Christ is telling you here, folks. Those of you that are single, and we have some here, right? How many are single here? Hey, how many are single? I hope the children, they are single. Yes, wait there. For those that are single, this is the device for you. Okay? For those of us that already made our mistakes, the only thing we have to do is that live by grace, right? We have to live by grace. But those of you that still have a chance, look around and learn and make the right decision. Because believe me, when you got married to somebody and that person does not believe the way you believe, it's just like hell. My parents left me. I was taken by my aunt to her house. My uncle decided to be a Seventh-day Adventist. And my aunt decided that she was not going to let him control her. Therefore, I'm not going to change. And we became, I know, if you want to know what hell is, I have been there. Oh, yes. If I preach to you about hell, believe me, I know what hell is. All in the name of ego. One ego, another ego, and they fought. So, brothers and sisters, there is no communion between a pear and an apple. They may taste almost like, but they are not the same. Don't try to staple them together because it won't work. But worse yet, if you try to put a lemon with an apple, what do you think that lemon is going to do to the half of that apple? Will destroy it. Will take its flavor away. Will take its identity away. It will no longer taste like apple. Will no longer smell like apple. Don't get yourself involved with a lemon. Or don't be yourself a lemon. That is the covenant that God established. You don't want to live a life like this. Do not be unequally yoked together with the unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? I don't think it'd be any clearer than this. This is not the covenant that the Bible have. And by the way, I did not find one single piece of article or book that talk this. So this probably is the first time you're going to hear. Do you know that a Sabbath is actually a covenant? Did you know that? A Sabbath is one of those Adamic covenant. There was marriage and there is the Sabbath. Look what it says. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I emphasize the Abba there because God is not actually talking about the day itself. Of course, the day is important. But he says, remember my day. Remember who I am, because if you remember who I am, you know who you are. He says, I would like to establish an eternal fellowship with my creation. As long as you remember this covenant, I'll be right beside you. I'll be providing, I'll be protecting, I'll be always in your life. Remember who your Father is, because I don't want you to forget where you came from. Many times people hear my accent, they say, where are you from? Some of you may have an accent too. You know how many people here does not have any accent? Everybody has an accent. Just because two people almost talk a lot. When you go to another country, they say, oh, you are from America, right? Or you're from California. Or you're from Georgia. Or you're from Texas. Everybody has an accent. Everybody. But some of us have a little heavier, right? So remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Exodus 20. Jesus said this because he wants to know, for us to know that God is the one who established this covenant. I don't spend much time now talking to people, say, oh, the Bishop of Rome changed. Constantine did this, or the Roman Catholic Church did this. I don't spend more time with this anymore. Lately, I'm using Jesus' technique. It is written. Because I have noticed, throughout the years, I've noticed that you can take somebody and beat them up with so many Bible verses and everything else. And after you give them 100 Bible verses about the Sabbath, they are still thinking exactly the same way. Why? Because nobody wants to be convinced. People need to be converted. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. You can be the instrument, but don't try to be everything, because you can't. You can beat a person up and accomplish nothing. Amen. Don't try to prove to anybody who do you believe. Let them see Jesus in your life. Because the biggest sermon that you can preach is a life that you may live. Genesis 2:2, and on the seventh day God ended his work, which he had done. That's why he made a covenant. So some people say that God created the world in 6 days. Not so. He created the world in 7 days. Because you see, the seventh day is actually a real thing. If you study and see around our nature, the cycle, the 7 days cycle, it's a real thing. It's not that another day just being repeated. It is there. It's a real thing. So on the seventh day, God finished creation by giving a day for us to rest. Then God blessed the seventh day. How? How did he bless? He gave. He provided. That's a blessing. Then he did what? He took himself and allocate himself on the Sabbath. That's why you have Abba right in the middle of the Sabbath, because it's God's presence that makes the Sabbath holy. That's why today cannot be Saturday. Better, folks, if you get prepared for to go to heaven, you better leave this Saturday business alone. Because I cannot imagine you there in heaven and says, "What day is today, angel?" "Oh, today is..." Whoa. You get better used to it, because we have to go back to basics. We need to go. Sanctify, it means he made holy by his presence. Because in it he rested. What do you mean he rested? He took his name, because the word rest means also to take something and put it down. So he took his name and put it right in the middle of the Sabbath. He rested his name there by making it holy with his presence. That is the covenant. Now, for those of you that think that that covenant, because some of you may think that God changes, God doesn't change. So Isaiah 58, 13 and 14 exists for those that have already been careless with that covenant. It says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath. What it means that? If you go to a place that you're not supposed to. From doing your pleasure. Oh, let's walk on the beach. Oh, let's go this. It says, be careful where your foot is taking you. And then it says, if you, and you call the Sabbath a delight. For some people, the Sabbath is a burden. You have to learn to enjoy the Sabbath, brothers and sisters. You have to learn to make it holy and pleasant. It's very important. Those that love God will love to spend time with him. The holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasure, and not speaking all that football business, basketball, and all those fashion things. Oh, did you shop on there? Did you go there? All those things is not for the Sabbath. James 2, verse 10. For whoever shall keep the whole law, and what happens? You're guilty of the whole law. If you break one, a few years ago, I went to a church to be a pastor. And the church had a very young pastor, very young. He never pastored any church. That was his first church. So he made a contract with the renters. When you look at the contract, you think, wow. If somebody rent this church to somebody else, for $5 a month, do you think that this is an insane contract? Well, what about $100 a month if the person comes here and uses four times? This person has such it was so ridiculous. So I looked at the contract and I says, yes, the only way for us to get out of a contract if we see if the renters broke any aspect of the contract. So I went and I found that they broke. But God was so good that I called a meeting with the renters. And we sat down, and I talked to the renter, and the renter said, yeah, I broke the contract. And I said, would you be willing to put that in writing? They did. And that's how we got out of the contract. Because they wrote, yes, I'm aware that I broke the contract. So we have to make another contract, and it went from $1,000 a month to $4,000 a month. And it was necessary because that's what happens. Now, the fall and promise. In Genesis, talk about God shows mercy to Adam, means him and her, and covers the nakedness. Now, what happened to Adam and Eve? They broke the covenant. And the first thing that they found out is they were naked. So they did something very common. They went shopping for some clothing. And death started to exist immediately because all those plants that God told Adam and Eve to take care of them, the first sin that they commit, they went and broke leaves out of the tree. They hurt the tree, nature immediately. And that's what sin does. Hurts everything around you. Let me repeat. Sin hurts everybody around you. You and everybody around you. So they took the leaves and they covered themselves. And they started walking around with those leaves. Can you imagine how funny that would be? Then a voice came. Adam. And by the way, when God says Adam, he was not looking for the man. Adam meant both of you. Okay? Hey, leaves, where you are? Adam, where are you? And they were hiding. Why are you hiding? Because we are naked. How do you know that you're naked? Oh, because we broke the covenant. Because we broke the covenant. So what did God do? Another sacrifice. Now an animal has to lose their lives in order to provide clothing for Adam and Adam. Adam and Eve. To cover their shame. Ah, what a shame. Tells us about how the covenant was broken by Adam, male and female, how Adam was his descendants needed to be redeemed, and the story of the covenant reveals us how God is so closely linked to his creation, his creatures. We are almost there. The fall and promises. This text, I want to call attention to you this, because this is the text, the first promise, explicit promise in the Bible in Genesis. And you're going to find out how this ends up in Revelation also. And I will put enmity between you and the woman. The woman means all the woman and also the church, okay? And between you, your seed and her seed, Jesus Christ. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. For the wages of sin is what? Death. What it means is if somebody breaks the contract, somebody has to pay. In this case, we're supposed to pay because we broke the contract. And Jesus says, no, you cannot pay because the price is too high. Even though you broke the contract against me, I'll pay for it so that we can restore. The cost, the wages. Adam and Eve saw their son killed by the other son. So they lost two sons and one daughter in the same day. Noah and his family. Now, there is another aspect here that I'm going to stop here. And I will cover this next week. I'll continue with the subject. But first, before we go there, I'd like to say this to you. Next week, I hope you are here, because we're going to talk about Noah, and we're going to talk about baptism, and we're going to talk about the remnant. This is going to be what we're going to do next week, okay? I hope you come, and I hope you invite somebody to come also next week. At this time, we'd like to ask our pianist. Yes? Let's take our hymnals.